This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt. We are on episode 14 of the season. Thanks for listening. Keep your comments coming in and all that. We'll read them all. We've had some really good comments over the last few weeks, so just keep them coming and we'll keep listening. And if anyone out there is listening and fancies jumping on the pod, please drop us a message and said we're welcome for all fans to come on and give their view. And this week, we've got a debutant on. Matt Druitt, how are you, mate?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Welcome, welcome. We've also got Harry Edwards, our insights, the man behind it.
Yeah, cheers, Ben, for having me back again.
No worries, mate. How you doing?
Yes, all good, thank you. All good.
Good, good. And we've, like we always say, the Johan Barbe, we've got Duncan. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. A bit better than last week, but still not completely happy with QPR at the minute. But we'll get into that.
mate, the weather being a postman, mate, must be a nightmare.
Ah, nothing wrong with it, mate. Still got my shorts on.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's too cold for that sort of stuff. Right then, where are we going to start? Reading. Game of two halves. Actually, I don't know if it was a game of two halves. I thought we played quite well, actually, overall. Obviously, we didn't. We didn't get the goals probably in the first, we didn't create it probably enough, but I actually thought we controlled the game quite well over the course of the game. Obviously Jamal Lowe coming on, changing the game. I think he's going to be massive for us. I really do. And we'll chat about him in a bit later, but he made a massive influence. And obviously it was good for Tyler Roberts to get a couple of goals. His confidence, I think he was dying for it. There's a couple of players in that squad that are dying for a couple of goals and he's certainly one of them. So to see him grab it. And the first one was excellent as well. I'm sure we'll talk about. But Matt, you were there. Do you want to kick off? What was your take on the game?
Yeah, like you said, we had the majority of possession. We were controlling the play. Reading's idea really was to get set pieces, launch it up to Andy Carroll. He'll latch it on to anyone that's nearest and then they'll try and score. That's simple as that. We were the ball-playing team. We were trying to create chances. I thought we looked bright in the first 15 minutes. And their two goals came out of nowhere in the first half, and it had to be Jeff Hendrick of all people. You know, the first one just came out of nowhere, 30 yards out. And the second one, I thought he was offside initially, but then again, him scoring two goals wasn't ideal. But when it was 2-0 down at halftime, I'm thinking, here we go again. And I worry about this team when we concede the first goal. We tend to, you know, our heads tend to drop. But to be fair to him, in the second half, we came out a different side. We were more positive. We put more bodies forward. And Jamal Lowe did change the game for me. I think he made a massive impact. He could be the player that we need in that attacking threat. He might be the missing piece that can sort of speed up the play. And he can be that mobile striker that can sort of run in behind and he could be the missing piece. So hopefully, fingers crossed.
That in behind thing, I think, is massive because teams could easily, they know that we're not going to run in behind, right? So they can play a bit higher, right? And that then moves everyone forward, doesn't it? So it means when you've got playing against a pressing team, it benefits them because they're all further forward because they know we haven't got anyone to run in behind. So when they were talking about Haaland, obviously, you know, complete different level, but they were saying at Man City, they were talking about how they, how now they don't run, they're not running in behind as much. And I just feel like, when we have Jamal Lowe, he can make those runs and cut in behind. So it means that teams have, when they're setting up against us, it just gives them something else to think about, doesn't it? Rather than thinking that Linda Dykes isn't going to outrun the centre half.
Yeah. No, exactly. And what you teach it to the kids, right? Like having space to play on the pitch. If no one's running in behind, like you say, they squeeze up, it just leaves us less space to play.
Exactly. And that. Then,
I mean, if they're going to do that whilst we've got Jamal Lowe in the side, then we're going to get joy from knocking it in behind. But then if they think, oh, we're going to sit off a bit deeper and stop that, then our, you know, creative players are going to get a bit more time on the ball. So definitely adds that in. But on Reading, we all saw the Twitter meltdown at halftime. And I can't lie, I was in that same boat. I think what's most frustrating about being in that position was because it was against Reading. Like, they are dross. They're yeah. awful, awful football inside. And just before they scored, I know you said we played all right in that first half. I thought we had a good 10-minute spell where we looked, you know, in control, creating a bit more. But, I think most QPR fans' heads were gone at half-time. But, yeah, the second half, much better. Good to see a bit of character, especially after Fleetwood. Don't know if any of you made the brave trip up to Fleetwood, but I feel sorry for people who did. But yeah, it was a nice little mood lifter that second half, and Jamal Lowe getting the assist like what, a minute or two after coming on. It's positive. And from running in behind, like you say, like Chair actually has got something to pick out with that run. So yeah, I was happier with the second half, and just Lowe and Roberts saved the day, really.
What was the feeling like in the ground? Obviously, you were there with the away fans at half time. Was it a feeling of, oh God?
Oh no, I wasn't there.
No, Matt, I was talking. Matt, what was the feeling like?
Pretty flat, to be honest. Everyone was, you know, getting themselves a beer or anything like that, leaving their seats after 40 minutes. You know, it was, everyone felt it was the same old story, really. I was saying throughout that first half, if we concede first, then I'll worry, because in recent games, whenever we conceded first, or if you ever conceded, our heads just drop. And when it happened, when it was 2-0, I'm thinking, listen, it's a massive, massive mission to try and get something out of this. And somehow we did. We just looked a completely different side in the second half, just more positive.
Laird was excellent in the second half as well. I don't know if Pritchley gave him a bit more licence or we were just playing down that side more often, but he just felt like he just had that extra bit of oomph, and he was getting forward and he was causing trouble. And the goal, obviously the second goal, came from him at the back post coming flying in. Duncan, have you got anything to add, mate, to Reading?
Only that I'm going to sound super critical, and I'll probably get a lot of hate from some quarters of the fan base. For me, Senny's got to do a hell of a lot better for the second goal. As a goalie, he's pushed it, like he's made the initial save, but it's gone straight into the danger area anyway. Hence, while Hendrick was able just to have a little tap in. First goal, there was nothing he could have done. But for me, I feel like the second goal, he has that kind of in him where I feel like he doesn't always push a ball away when he makes a save, like out of the danger area, if that makes sense. Or am I being overcritical on him?
I might be remembering it wrong, but I thought it took a deflection. Or did it get saved?
I don't know about I didn't remember there being a deflection. My view was.
I think it was a powerful shot. And I think he sort of, just looped up in the air. I think it was going in anyway.
Oh,
and
fair
then,
enough.
Hendrick tapped it in.
Yeah.
I thought he was offside, the way he just stacked. No one was marking him.
Mate, I was zooming in. I was zooming in on the highlights on my phone. I don't think he was. I think he looks like it, but I don't think he
was onside.
I think it's the fact that, like, I think he obviously ran in, didn't he? Like, he followed the ball in, whereas our defenders just stood still. So he's already that like a yard or two ahead of him. So he looks offside. But I think our defence has just gone, oh, there it goes in.
My view on Seddy is that, I mean, what he's a great keeper, one of the best in the Championship. I've got no doubt about it. But I don't think he's in the great form, or certainly not in the, some of the form that he was in, sort of the start of the season maybe, or certainly last season, you know, when we were sort of flying with Warburton. But he is a good goalie, but sometimes he's just a little bit too chilled. I don't know. That's my view. He's just like...
He's not always on his toes.
I don't always feel like he's concentrating. I don't always feel like he's fully in control. It doesn't mean he can't make worldies off the back of those, or, you know, saves, because he is a good keeper. He's kept us in a few games. But I always feel like, I don't know, he's just not, you know, in the game, or something's happening. He's just... Because he's a real chilled guy, isn't he? Like, real, like... I've got no issue with him coming out and catching balls. He can do that all day. But sometimes if the game's a quick pace and something coming at him really quickly, I don't know, he's not always the quickest to react. I've seen the links as well. I don't know if you've seen the links, boys, with some of the Premier League sides.
Yes.
I don't know if it's got... I don't know whether there's that in there or whether... not sure.
I reckon my view on Seni is, like, fairly simple. It's just... he's a good shot stopper, but inconsistent. But then I think he's cracking with his feet. I think that's what makes him stand out. He enables us to play out from the back if we're choosing to do so. So I'm happy with him. In the Championship, you're not going to have someone who's brilliant at everything. So that's a slight trade-off, but he's getting the links for a reason.
How much do you think that if he was to go in the summer, how much realistically do you think we could get for him?
Dunk.
Oh, see, we had this chat in our group chat the other day, and I got slated because I said, for me, I think anything between 5 to 8 million for us for Seni is great business. And I feel like that would give us money to reinvest in another younger keeper to then do the same thing, play and then sell on, which is what we need to be doing. But obviously someone else in our group chat thought I was like off my head. He's like, they reckon 2 to 3 million.
I'm back
max.
To earth was his words.
Mine was if he's under contract, I'm just having a little look now when his contract runs out. I would say, so he's got another year and a half, 18 months.
Not long, is it? And he's a keeper.
Not too long.
He's a keeper as well. Keepers don't go for big money, mate. I mean, unless they're young and unbelievable. Like, is he 26, 27?
Yeah, I think 28 years.
28? You think he's younger, 28. Don't you?
It's not old for a keeper.
Yeah, he does look younger.
Yeah. But I would say, if we renew for another year, I reckon 3 to 5 million. But if it's a year, I reckon we'll probably get about 2, which is a shame, but...
It also depends on the circumstance, doesn't it? Like, say, I know if Everton are looking at Pickford's situation because he's not signed a new deal or anything, they would then be desperate for another goalie because their number one's gone. They would then have to splash a bit more cash.
If it's a
team that's just going, we need a number two, they're not going to pay more than 4 or 5 million for a number two, are they? Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And with all due respect to Seni, I can't see him going and being a starting keeper at a Premier League side, at least a... or definitely not one that's not going to be in a relegation battle. So,
good keeper though, and like one of the best in the Championship. I just think that if he's going to kick on a bit and he's going to try and get these prem moves, which he might do as a number two, he probably needs to just his concentration needs to be a bit better. And like Dunk said, he does sometimes save, and it just feels like he could have done better. But I mean, we're not goalkeeper experts, are we? But But I'll tell you one person I did want to talk about, and I don't know what you boys thought of, is Luke Amos. He's missing again, injured again. He's had a really, really torrid year, hasn't it? Well, season so far. I'm not his greatest fan, personally. I'm not sure what he offers on a football pitch. I know he's high energy, I get that, but I don't know. It's frustrating because there could have been a player in there maybe a year or two ago, but I'm wondering whether... I don't know whether there's much better players in the team and whether he's going to get I'd like to see Richards more. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you boys think?
I think Richards can be...
Go on, mate.
No, I think Richards would be a good addition if he gets more game time. I think he is good on the ball technically, Richards. I think with Amos, Like, to be fair, towards the end of last season, he's one of our best players, the bad form that we had. But for me, he's a bit weak in midfield. He's a bit slow getting across in midfield. Those are the two things I would say. And the thing is, he's too injury prone, and we can't have a player like that, you know, to have for two, three more years. We need someone else in there. But yeah, I think he's just a little bit weak in midfield, and I think we need someone different.
What's
his
there. Best position as well. Like, is he a number eight? Is that his position? Is that where he's best at number eight, or is he best up top chasing? Like, I don't know.
Nah, not up top. I think he looks when he gets pushed too far forward.
Yeah, I don't like him.
It's a little
there,
bit
really
lost. Looks no. a little bit lost. But
I was good. Go on, Harry. Sorry.
Yeah. So I put a tweet out earlier about young players having injuries. Like, it's just gutting for him. And obviously, he actually was playing a bit for Spurs at like 18, 19, ruptured his ACL. Then he's come to us on loan. He did all right. You see a bit of potential. He's come in, done his ACL again. And then, well, I think it was the other one. So he's done both his knees and he keeps getting all these injuries. Like, it's a proper shame for him. But I was hopeful at the beginning of this season that he could have been that like forward thinking eight that Bill was trying to use, because what he is good at is breaking lines, with whether it's driving or running. Like, remember that goal against Reading he scored last season where, well, he could have had a few just driving from midfield, but his all-round midfield game isn't that good. Like, he don't really get on the ball, pick a pass. So
drive with the ball though, does he? I mean, the runs are great, and yes,
nah, he did a bit, but he doesn't anymore. I'm sure of it.
He doesn't anymore.
For me, he's a bit like, it's him and George Thomas are just like a conundrum. I don't really know what they offer on a football pitch. Like,
Amos is not
a Sam Field. He's not a holding midfielder. He's not an attacking midfielder like Chair or Willock. And I wouldn't say he's a box to box, really. He hasn't necessarily got the engine that someone like Tim has. I honestly don't know what he offers when he plays over anyone else we've got in the squad.
No, I think he was a Warburton man, wasn't he? I think Warburton loved him and Warburton believed in him. And I think he seemed to thrive a little bit under Warburton, you know, and whatever. But I kind of feel like Beal wasn't really as massive, wasn't his biggest fan. And I don't know, with injuries, I'm not too sure.
I'd say now I agree with Dunk, but it's a shame because before I could have seen something there, but now I'm not really sure what he offers. And it's a waste of having him in the squad, really, if he's going to keep getting these injuries. Waste of wages. Yeah. So
you need to get someone else in, don't you? If you've got someone like that, you kind of have to bring someone else in as well, don't you, to kind of just in case. Or So it's a bit frustrating. But anyway, transfer. What are we on, the 19th? We've still got, what, 9-10 days left? Shadupu out. I saw the last week or so. Shadupu.
You always call him Shadupu, mate.
Shadupu, whatever he's called. Did it last time. Mido.
Mido.
I think that could be it for him now, surely. Because his contract's out in the summer.
Is he like 25 now? 26?
I don't know.
I mean, at that age, he's got to be playing somewhere he can get regular football. He's not going to get a QPR. You know, he's been at the club for years. He's had many loans. And I think he should know now that QPR is not his club for regular football, and he's got to go somewhere where he can.
You know what he'll do? He'll go to Lincoln and it'll be brilliant, and he'll score loads of goals, and he'll come back in the summer and we'll give him another year's contract.
This is the problem, isn't it? Because we loan all these players out to lower leagues and they look good. They come back and get a big contract or like a longer contract, don't do anything for us. We've got so many examples. Like, what annoys me the most on like Twitter and stuff is fans saying it's old Paul Smith at Leyton Orient. And he's tearing it up for them. He's so good. Why do we let him go? And I'm like, but look at the level he's playing in. That's why he looks good. Like, he couldn't cut it for us. I just think players have certain levels, and a lot of our fringe players are League One at best, absolute best. And they, like, we need to be picking up players that are top end League One, or like with the aspirations of being young to play up into the Championship.
Yeah.
Said that on the last pod. We don't do that enough at the moment. I don't know where that's gone, but we're not bringing in those League One players, are we? Or those, you know, those young players. It's kind of tailed off a little bit, hasn't it?
It's like we signed Dizel, all thinking Dizel was going to make the step up. and he'd be a decent championship player. He's got, like for me, I still think he's got something about him over, say, like an Amos, but he's just got so inconsistent with it. Every so often you think, oh, there you go. This is what Dizel Officer brings to the team. Like he looks really like good today. And the next two or three games, you just think, has he even touched the ball?
Yeah, it's tough.
I agree.
He's good on the ball, though. He can pick a pass. And some, like you say, some games, he looks really good, doesn't he? High energy, he'll get the ball, he'll play it. He'll make a worldy pass. But then some games, like you say, at half-time, you're like, I didn't even know he was playing.
Yeah.
Which is not the quite, when he's that, when you've got someone like that, if he's not on the ball, he doesn't offer anything, does he?
Yeah.
I agree.
And what about any, do we think anything else? Anyone else coming in? Do you think anyone else will go out?
I'd still like to see us sign like a versatile defender that can play like left back or right back just as an additional cover.
Yeah.
Because obviously when Nico played against Fleetwood the other day, like it was just, that's just horrendous. Like we need someone who can actually play left back.
Yeah. It's true. A left back and I think maybe an actual wide player. But it's not priority because Roberts, Willock and Chair can do it and Richards, but it's not where they all want to play, which obviously is a bit tough with the formation that we're going to be going and playing. But I would have loved Ebuwe. He's just gone to Hull. I think that would have been brilliant.
That would have been ideal, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did any of you...
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Watch it. Watch him versus us last season.
He killed us. Didn't
unbelievable. He's such a good player. But I don't know who else is out there for that position, because I know Critchley had Bowler at Blackpool. I think he likes to have his wingers cutting in. So the right-sided player being left-footed like Bowler. And like Chair or Willock on the left. There's not really any obvious options who are available for a loan or on a cheap deal, which is obviously the market we're in. So it's tough. I do feel for the guys who are having to recruit in this market with our current financial situation.
We can't even get any more loans in now, can we?
Well, exactly, which means we can't really
use that.
We've our loan quota is used up, isn't it? So...
we've got five now, and that means that we're not going to waste a loan on a backup left or right back. So it means that someone's got to come in on a free, which makes it difficult, doesn't it? Or we buy someone, and we're not going to buy a backup left or right back, are we?
No.
I mean, Salter can play left back, can't he?
I suppose that if we need him to.
But yeah.
And I think Laird can play there as well.
I think
we've got cover there, haven't we? We've got enough cover there for the season, as long as Powell's not out, doesn't get like a season-ending injury. If it's just someone to come in for the odd game because he's suspended or got a knock, I reckon we've got the depth to cover it. And it's probably a position in the summer we need to really look at getting a free agent in. But like I think, like Harry said, we definitely need someone else, like another wide man.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think on outgoings? Anyone else? Obviously, Bond's gone as well. Is there anyone else we think we might loan out?
Yeah, I mean, with Bond, I don't know how much, you know, of the wages we're going to get, you know, how much money we're going to get from him. It's, you know, with the likes of George Thomas, I don't know if he's going to get a loan or... But again, I think, like we said, I think he's a bit of a waste of time in the squad. Nico might get a loan, but... if he gets a loan, he might get called back. It's a tricky situation. I think none of these players are going to go now. They might go in the summer. but I don't see any major outgoings for me. I might see a few loans, but no players that will go to another team and then we'll have to try and buy some like that. I don't see it.
I was playing football yesterday. There was a Reading fan there, funnily enough. I actually thought he was a QPR fan because he had the kit on. So I went over to sort of give him a high five or whatever. It turned out to be a Reading fan. Anyway, we went to the game on Saturday and he said to me, he goes, I looked at your team and we were like, this is going to be like, it's ridiculous. They didn't, obviously, you know, but you don't really know, do you? When other oppositions, like, you know, their squad and stuff, but when you see it, and he's like, you're Jamal Lowe, like Dykes, you know, Willock, Chair. Obviously, they don't watch them every week, do they? So, but on paper, Tyler Robinson is like, what the hell? This is like ridiculous. But to us, we don't see it like that. But it's mad how, like, when you look at it, when you think about it, that's like a mad five, isn't it, really? That should be doing a lot of damage in my eyes. Or if a manager can get that going, I don't know how, and obviously, you know, or I don't know if you get your Willocks on form, you know, get Chair.
Yeah.
Contributed a bit more goals and assists wise. You get Dykes, a few more goals out of Dykes. You know, you get Tyler Roberts going. Jamal Lowe's going to be quality. Mate, that should do some damage, right, in this league?
Yeah, but the problem was, like you said, that's on paper, and paper is not form. And
no, I know.
Like, all five of them literally like are, when you say, are out of form. I know Rob Roberts got his goals. Like, Lowe looked sharp when he came on, but he hasn't played a lot of football for Bournemouth this season. So it's going to take him a few games to really get into his stride. Willock and Dykes, their form is just, they're like non-existent at the minute. Like, Dykes has got no competition, so he knows he's going to start every game. So he, like, if he drops an absolute stinker, he's not realistically going to get dropped because no one else is there to take his place.
And I was reading online about Jamal Lowe as when he's up front, you know, as a number nine, he's not great. He's better on the wing, cutting in and getting. So I don't know. Obviously, we'd have to see him. But do you think he's been brought in as a more of a winger, or do you think he's been brought in as a number nine?
Top with Dykes, off of Dykes.
Yeah.
I think Dykes needs that. He needs a striker that can sort of, he can header on and then someone can run in behind and that. So I think that's something we do need for him. But we'll see.
Someone's got to be dropped, right? You can't play all of them. So someone's going to be sitting out. At the moment, you'd have to say probably Willock, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the plans are for Swansea, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I think, obviously, Critchley likes to play with more of a wide, like, attacking three, doesn't he? Whereas Beale wanted Chair and Willock quite central. He kind of played those narrow number 10s behind Dykes. I think that's like why we've got Lowe in, is that Critchley wants to play a bit wider in that front three. So I feel like it's definitely going to be Willock being dropped. I think if Lowe starts, I think it's Willock being dropped.
I do like it, but I feel like we're not getting the best out of Tim in this formation either. I feel like when we've moved him back as a number six, I kind of don't feel like he is a number six. I know he got brought in as that right at the start, but I feel like him driving forward from midfield is kind of what was good about him. Him just sitting back and being a CDM with
he's too deep.
He can't influence games. But I get why, because you want to get that extra forward on, you know, the Roberts or the Chair, you want to get them involved, but you kind of lose him, don't you? So I don't know where he fits in this formation. I think Critchley, when Steph comes back as well, you've got the two Salters back, you've got Balogun coming back. Some big decisions to make, really. I don't know whether there's a formation change in there.
What do you reckon we'll go with, Dunk? Do you think we'll play 4-3-3?
Well, Critchley seems to play this 4-2-3-1, doesn't he? Like, it's almost like, I don't know. He seems to want to get attacking players on the pitch, which is fine. But like Ben said, like, it means dropping Tim back into that midfield too. And it just doesn't seem to work for me. I feel like we missed, like, you lose the best parts of Tim's game. But then if you go 4-3-3, who at that front five we've just been talking about? Who, there's two then not starting. So you like, who's the front? Who's the three going to be? And then it's, will the other two be like, how much impact will they give us off the bench? Obviously, Lowe came on against Reading and made an immediate impact, but he was up for it. Like someone like Roberts, if he suddenly now gets dropped after scoring two goals, he's going to be like, well, hang on, I scored two at the weekend. Why am I now on the bench?
Mm.
I feel like Critchie's got a tough few decisions to make for this game against Swansea, to see actually what formation he goes with and who from those five actually one of them is not going to start, and it'd be interesting to see which one that is.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah. What do you reckon? I think I've got an idea of how he's going to play, but I haven't got a crystal ball. But yeah,
no, I've read somewhere that he likes doing a 4-4-2 as well, but again, that doesn't suit. It might suit Lowe and Dykes together. I don't know, because he can be that striker next to him. But for the likes of Tim and Sam, they were too close together. I prefer Tim going more forward. So it's a bit of a dilemma. About to touch on Lowe, I think he's going to play for the rest of the season, for most of the games anyway. I think he's been assured of starting most games for being brought in quite desperately, really. So I'm sure he'll play. And we can only hope Robertson stay fit. If he can stay fit, you know, on his day, he's a quality player. With Willock, he's not the same player. If he does get dropped for Swansea, I wouldn't complain. It's just, I don't know, it might be his injury, he might be sort of thinking about it at the same time, but, you know, he's not getting that back yet. And with Chair, yeah, I think, you know, Chair, he always puts his heart out in every game, but he likes Willock having a partner next to him, especially on that left-hand side. They like to play with each other. But, yeah, I think Lowe will play most games, but we'll see. We'll see.
I thought Lowe played really close to Dykes when he came on. So I think, you know, how you said like 4-2-3-1. I think it's going to look a bit like that with, instead of having Chair in the middle, I think it will be Lowe, but playing closer to Dykes and running him beyond. I think that's what he's going to go for. And then we always press as a 4-4-2 at the minute, like Chair steps up with Dykes and they go together. So then Lowe's more, obviously, he's played up front. I think they'll press like that. And I think that he'll go Chair on the left and Roberts on the right. I reckon he's going to go with like a 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2 sort of thing.
I think he'll decide on those. It's between those two. I think he might do 4-4-2, and then if that's too simple, I guess we're not creating many chances, he might switch to a 4-2-3-1. So there could be a change of formation there.
I mean, yeah, with the players we've kind of mentioned there, like, it allows for our system to be fairly fluid, because someone like Chair, Lowe, Roberts, even Willock, they can all kind of play anywhere along that kind of front three line. So
yeah, good point.
Like, it gives him that little bit of flexibility. And like I said, like, we're struggling for form and we're struggling to create chances. So he needs to do something to get those like chances created and taken.
Yeah,
I think he'll keep the formation as it is. He'll play the second half team. I think that what Jamal Lowe, Dykes and Chair will be, I don't know how that will look exactly, but I can see, and Tyler Roberts, sorry. I think that'll be there. I think Willock will miss out. And I think he'll see how we go. But I think if we struggle on Saturday, he's going to have to look at some sort of formation change to try and get us going, because we're just not going on. We can't just keep going with the same formation and side every week, hoping that it will change. You know what I mean? Waiting for someone to pick up a bit of form or someone to score a wonder goal every week. He's going to need to change it up. I don't know if he goes three at the back with the centre-backs now fit. But that loses another person, like Dunk said. So you kind of got two. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that, with a couple of players being on the bench. That's one thing that we have lacked massively over the last sort of two or 3 months, is someone that can come off the bench. Look at the impact Jamal Lowe had at the weekend, you know? And I think Lyndon Dykes could do that. I think he would be so much more effective coming off the bench on some games when defenders are sort of... Charlie Austin used to say it, didn't he? He used to like, well, you know, sometimes you can influence the game just as much off the bench when you're coming on and a defender's been run ragged for 60 minutes, you're coming on fresh. You're a bit, you know, you get that extra yard that you probably wouldn't get in the first half, but, you know, if you were starting.
That's sort of plan B as well. A plan B off the bench, Dykes can be that person that can sort of hold up the ball pretty well, get us up the pitch a bit more if we're struggling with possession. Yeah. So, yeah.
And Swansea play around, don't they? So I don't know if that'll influence it. Swansea, they like to keep the ball, don't they? So I don't know whether that means Dykes will play up there as well, because he runs around a lot, doesn't he? Chases.
They play the same way no matter what the scoreline is. I remember the away game. We lost 1-0 early in the season. They play the same way. They like to play out from the back quite slow, but they just continue to play the same way. They never change.
Yeah, good side. They are a good side.
What do we reckon then? Do we think? I think we've got to turn up on one game. I keep saying this every week to myself, but one week we've got to, like, we'll just tear someone apart. I know we will. I just don't know whether it will be this week. I kind of feel like Swansea would benefit us, though. I'd rather play like a Swansea than I would like one of the teams at the bottom who just sit back. I'd rather have someone have a go at us. A bit like Sheffield United, like they're a bit more open, aren't they? And it means we can play a bit. It suits us a bit. What do you reckon?
I did a little bit of work this week with a Swansea, I think it's like a YouTube channel, and he reckons that Jamal Lowe's going to score two, tear them apart. but I don't know, like you said, like we've played well for sections of games recently and not a complete game. I'd love for us to just to turn up and control the game from start to finish and actually put in a dominant performance. But saying that, I think Swansea is going to be one of those games where, like they play football, it should benefit us, but I don't necessarily think it will. I can really see them playing through us, and I think it's going to be quite a high-scoring game either way.
Yeah, I think they're decent. They're going to be difficult to play against. So I'd keep the ball well, but they don't let you have it either. Like I put a chart out a couple of days ago, like so. Only them, Burnley and Sheffield rank within the top quartile for least like passes per defensive action. So like they basically let teams have the least number of passes before they get a challenge in. So they do that, and also top quartile for XG. So yeah, that's not even coming in with like the percentage. So their possession, sorry. So they're going to keep the ball, and then when we get it, they're going to be on us. So I'm not super confident about controlling the game, but I think that's why Lowe might come in handy, because you know, if we're not going to have loads of the ball, we've got to make good use of it, and him running in behind, yeah, I'm hopeful for that. But it's going to be a tricky game. I think they're in a bit of a false position. I think them, Cov and Luton are my outside-ish shouts for the top six. So they're a decent side, but they're light up top. I don't think Obafemi's going to play. I think his head's at least turned. I'm not sure if he's going to Burnley, but he was out of the squad last weekend. They're quite light up top, so...
I saw Madden. He's not signing a new contract there.
No,
so
he's
goes
not.
Out on a free. I kind of laughed at that.
Oh, he's doing that. Yeah. Doing them dirty. Oh. Same way he did to us.
Yeah.
I saw what he got bid well, didn't you? Like you say, mate, I think that with Jamal Lowe, it gives us that in behind ball, that which makes the team, the opposition, not play, they can't afford to play so high, which we're hoping that can open up a bit. Matt, where do you sit, mate? Season ticket holder, are you? Where do you sit in the ground?
Yeah, so I sit in the lower loft, so I get a pretty decent view of how the play goes. And with the game, I think it's going to sway both sides. It might be a game of two halves again. Might be in the first half, they get one team that dominate possession, great chances, and then they sort of tire out with their pressing. And then they get the other team that do the same thing. It might be that sort of situation. What we must do in the first half is try and start quickly. We can't start slow. Their aim is to try and keep possession, frustrate us, try and make the crowd a bit quiet. So we got to be on the front foot straight away to get a positive result, in my opinion. If we start slow, they get a hold of the game, then it could be a long day. That's what I fear. But with Lowe, he can make a difference if he starts. He can definitely press from the front. I know Chair does. Dykes does as well. So if them three start near the front, then they can press pretty well. They can press high. So if we show that high energy, then we got a chance. But we can't let them dominate possession because we're at home. We've got to be on the front foot. So we'll see.
Yep. Hopefully Steph will be back as well, because I think we've missed him. We've missed a bit of experience, haven't we? Me and Doug, we were talking about it the other day. I think the experience is there. I'm not sure we necessarily need to bring anyone in, but with Steph coming back in and Balogun, Salter, that gives us a bit more experience that we've been missing over the last few weeks. What about Ashley Barnes quickly? I just wanted to end with you. I've seen quite a lot of links with him. I was some couple of people I've spoken to a bit would not take him some words. What do you reckon? With him?
Again, it goes like, as a player, I'd 100% take him. I feel like we'd really benefit from his experience and his ability.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a loan again, surely. And like we said, we were talking about a minute ago, all our loans are used up. So
yeah, it's wage, does that mean we let someone go,
or we make one of those loan deals permanent? And obviously, what was it? Roberts was what, 3-4 million? The deal to make him permanent? We're not going to do that. I don't know what. I know there was a similar kind of deal in place with Richards. I can't remember what his
600k ish.
I mean, have we seen enough from him to pay that?
Well, we're going to have to pay it in the summer. So,
Was it an obligation? Yeah, not like an option.
Oh yeah.
Well, then maybe that's what they'll do. Maybe they'll pay it early and get someone like Ashley Barnes in on loan. I feel like he will score goals for us and it'll give us a lot, something different to Dykes.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to cost much, but his wages will be massive, won't they? And just wages that we can't afford. Because I think Burnley are determined to bring another striker in, aren't they? They looks like they're bidding for a couple. So I think if they bring a striker, I think he'll become available. But like you say, I don't think we're going to be able to, how we're going to fit him in. And then it stops Dyke's development as well, doesn't it? I don't know if he is going to develop anymore, but you kind of hinder that, don't you?
Yeah. You sort of feel that he could be the same sort of player to Dyke's, but I think Barnes just brings a lot more. And like you say about the wages, I think you don't know, because they just don't really get it from the Premier League, so you don't know how their wages are like, and with us, it's going to be too much.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, lads. We'll call it there. Thanks for coming on. And let's hope we can get a result on Saturday, eh?
Well, that is a flat ending. Goodness gracious.
I know.
That sigh at the end.
What do you reckon?
Excited.
We're going to win. I've said it. I reckon we're going to win. I'm optimistic. We're going to thrash someone soon. And the thing is, whenever I say we're going to thrash someone, I'm really optimistic. We always end up losing. Always. Mm.
Yeah,
2-0 Rangers. There you go.
I reckon it's going to be close. I'm going to go 2-1 to us. I reckon we're going to get a 2-1 home win.
I'm going 1-0. 1-0 to us.
1-0.
Yeah. A bit more positive.
There we go.
We can end it on that.
Right, that's thanks for coming on. Have a great rest of the evening and up the arse.
You ours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.